Hey, church, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for being here this morning. Hope everybody is having a wonderful day. I know that I have had a wonderful day so far, and it has just been a blessing to be in Bible class, a blessing to be in worship with you guys. Now, have a few announcements before we get into yet another lesson on being thankful. I want to, first of all, ask that you remember Brother Conrad Carpenter in your prayers. Brother Conrad needs our prayers all the time because he wants to feel better. He wants to be here, and of course, Miss Glenda in that as well. But especially if you'll pray for him, he's going to have a cancer removed in the morning, and certainly he's had to go through that quite a bit. But certainly pray that all goes well and they're able to get everything. In other announcements, I have some very, very good news. We have had quite a few visitors with us the last several months now. And, you know, I'm always making that plea if those visitors are ready to take that visitor hat off. And this morning we have a family that they came to me. I didn't have to go to them, and they had a note delivered to me that they were ready to become members of the Azalea City Church of Christ. And so I'd like for us to thank and welcome Randy, Miss Robbie, Elizabeth, and John McKinnis to the Azalea City Church of Christ. Will the McKinnises stand up for us? Can you do that? Welcome. Welcome, welcome. I have gotten to know the McKinnises and just love them so much. I appreciate John's encouragement with those amens. That encourages me and such, and so thankful to have them here. Again, I don't want to necessarily embarrass them or anything else, but they are driving about an hour and 15 or 20 minutes to get here. And I appreciate that very, very much. So church, that says something about you. And certainly thankful for that. All right, here it is. You know, when I bring the hand sanitizer out, it's a good day. All right. I don't know. And listen, y'all correct me. It's been a lot of years, okay? We've been doing this now. Madeline was actually the first one I did this for, and she is 14 now. So it's been 14 years that we've been doing this. I think this is the youngest one. I saw Ashley last Sunday morning. I'm like, look, it's only been 3 days. So we said, hey, how about next week? And so he is just a week and some change old. But baby Callan Barnes is here. And Justin, Ashley, Riley, and Grayson. Look who's bringing him up. Dude, he ran up here with him. Hey, Grayson, you're almost 10? I know. How old are you? 7 years old. It'll be 8 in January. And about 8 years ago, I did this for you. So look at me. Wow. Justin, so proud of you guys. So proud that y'all are able to be here, got him. Such a beautiful little boy. I know we don't say that about little boys, but he is a beautiful little boy. And certainly got a great big sister and a great big brother and a great mom and daddy and grandparents and aunts and uncles and the whole nine yards. So thank you for bringing those babies, mamas and daddies. It means so much, and certainly a lot to be thankful for. Cody did such a great job reading, 32 verses, by the way, but he did such a great job with enthusiasm and really emphasized exactly why I picked that scripture. This entire month, we're trying to spend all of our worship services on Sunday, at least on my end, talking about being thankful. I'm trying to present it to you in a way that I've never done before. Now, I've been preaching here a long time, and so sometimes that gets challenging, you know, when it comes to a certain theme or what have you. But I'm trying to present stories that For instance, everybody's going to preach one on the 10 lepers, but I'm trying to do it from stories we may not think of, the thankfulness that are in there. And so today we're going to talk about the story of Hannah and Samuel. But I just want you to hear in the scriptures that are read, in the songs that are led, the words of Theo, the words of Bubba in his prayer. What a great prayer. All the thankfulness. All the things we have to be thankful for. And I know it seems cliche because this is the month that we do that, but as Christians, every single day of our lives, we don't need to get up complaining. We need to get up being thankful. There's so much to be thankful for. And so in the story of Hannah, and let me tell you, this story, I've said this before, it is near and dear to me. Back in, goodness, I can't even do the math on that, hardly, 40 years ago, I think I presented the very first speech or lesson or whatever to the Fairview Church of Christ, and I would have had to get one of these stools out too, and they would have had to turn the mic way up on me. But my grandfather wrote that lesson for me, and the first lesson I ever presented was on the story of Hannah. And so it's always been a story since that day that's been near and dear to my heart. When I was a freshman in high school, my grandmother had passed away, and certainly she was near and dear to me. In fact, her birthday was October 23rd, and my daughter was born on October 22nd, and so we named her, her middle name is Ruth, after that grandmother because it was so close. But the sadness of my grandmother passing as a freshman in high school was followed up with excitement because the very first grandchild of my parents and my first niece was born. And of course, Hannah is a member here and got two babies of her own now, but her name is Hannah. And so it's always been something in my life that I see little signs of God through this story. And so it's my challenge to myself today to present this lesson to you that you will have and take it with you as well. This story is so impactful in so many ways. Of course, Michelle and I, it took us 7 years to have a child through a lot of prayer and a lot of doctor visits and a lot of money that we really didn't have. None of that even mattered because through it all, God gave us our child. And so this story, again, meant a lot to me because I understand some of what Hannah felt during this time. But the story of Hannah is a story that is, it seems like it's filled with a lot of sadness, but I want you to know that it's filled with a lot of gratitude in this as well. And so I just want to give you a little bit before we get into the reading here about this. Samuel, first of all, we know that his father's name is Elkanah, and Elkanah is an Ephronite, and he is from Ramathaim. And the interesting thing about that, if you shorten Ramathaim to what it is, it's Rama, and you've probably heard more of Rama in the Bible. It was a hill country that was about 25 miles north of Jerusalem. And it also has been through other people basically referred to as Arimathea, and you'll remember Joseph of Arimathea in the New Testament. And this Rama was the birthplace of Samuel, of course, and we'll get into all that in a moment. But it was not only his birthplace, it was his residence, and ultimately the place he was buried. And Elkanah, you know, it's interesting because we know Samuel becomes a priest. Well, Elkanah is described as an Ephraimite. But you need to know from that, and of course, if that were the case, then he could not be from Ephraim, right, the tribe of Ephraim, and be a priest, only because then there would have had to been a change in the law. That's why Jesus, it changed the law, because he was a priest from the tribe of Judah. And so, all that to say this, he was a Levite. Elkanah was a Levite. The reason he was called an Ephraimite is because that's where he dwelt. It was his residence. And so just maybe if you've thought about that over the years, that's what's going on. But here, you need to understand that Elkanah takes two wives. And even though it was never necessarily ordained by God, it was more the norm in some of that situation. And the reason they did, it's not just because they fell in love with two women. It's because, to the Hebrew, carrying on a legacy through a child meant everything for the man. And so when Hannah, who could not have children, he ended up marrying Peninnah as well. And of course, through that, there's going to be a lot of jealousy. It was that way. If you go back to Abraham and Hagar, if you go back to Joseph and Rachel and Leah and all the maidservants and everything that went into that, there ends up being a lot of jealousy over this, and certainly a lot of talking down, if you will. But Hannah, of course, is the barren one, and she so fervently desires to have a child. And so that really gets us to where I want us to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's read together verses 3 and following. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 3 and following. Now this man used to go up, this is Elkanah, used to go up year by year from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. Now they were required, male Hebrews were required to go at least three times a year to the three major festivals up to the place of worship. And so it ends up being in Shiloh here. And if you see here, it's where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Think about that. They're going to worship. Peninnah has all these children, right? And, of course, that is something she uses against Hannah. So not only does Hannah have a desire to have a child, but she's also got now this co-wife, if you will. I like the way the version I read from had it translated, rival. This is her rival. And she's provoking her. And get where she's provoking her? On the road to go to worship. How sad is that? Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" Now, let me pause right there for a moment. Infertility is something we don't think a lot about, but there are certainly women who desire to be parents. And I know, we've been there. And, you know, you pray a lot of prayers in 7 years. You ask God to just, you know, whatever way, just help us to be able to have a child. And, you know, if you and I would be mindful of that. I'm using this because Elkanah, I think he meant well, and I think most people always mean well. I think he meant well, but he's like, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Listen, she loves you, Elkanah, but those are probably not the right things to say. And so I just want us to be mindful if someone is struggling to have children or what have you. Please don't go up to them and say, "Hey, when are you going to have a baby?" or "What's taking you so long?" or, you know, we always mean well, but those things hurt. Those things hurt. And so, again, it's just an aside because I've been there, done that. You know, people would tell me, "Hey, man, it's going to happen. They got 5 kids, you know?" I'm like, "Yeah, I get it. Maybe it's going to happen, but it's easy for you to say that. You haven't been in these shoes." And you don't say that out loud, but you think those things, you know, and such. And so just just a moment of a side teaching there, but in this story, we see Hannah's struggle, right? But here's what I love about this. And so the lesson's on gratitude. The lesson's on thankfulness. And so we start out by seeing Hannah, and it looks like she's not very thankful, right? But I want you to see what she does. And I want us to see through this that in our struggle, if we do things the way Hannah did them, in our struggle, in our hurt, in our trials, in our pain, whenever the sun doesn't seem to come up in our lives, we need to remember that if we will spend time in prayer and devotion to God, we can still find gratitude. If you will get up every day, if I will get up every day and not look for the negative, that I will look for and see God and God is all around us, folks. If I will look to find Him every day, if I will look for God every day, no matter what we go through, you're going to see that God is there. And it's going to be a great reminder. Hannah gives us about three things in this that I believe will help us. Again, it's 1 Samuel 1 and 2. The number one thing that I want us to look at today is this. Hannah had petition. They all start with P, so it's a prayer, right? She petitioned God with purpose. She petitioned God with purpose. Now, I want us to pick up and read verses 9 and through 18. After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Have we ever been there? We've been there, right? We've been there. You just want something so bad and you recognize who can get it. And those prayers of tears. But remember what the Bible says. You remember the story of Hezekiah? Hezekiah is one of my favorite stories. Again, that meant a lot to me in our desire to have children, of course, spreading it out before the Lord. But you remember after all that, Hezekiah is going to die. In fact, a prophet comes and tells him, hey, get your house in order. You're about to die. You remember what Hezekiah does? He turns to the wall and he cries and he prays. Do you remember that same prophet returns back and he says, the Lord has seen your tears. You see, even though you may cry and I may cry, please know that God sees those tears. He hears those prayers. And so, if you pick back up now, she's weeping bitterly. Verse 11, but she still finds an opportunity to see God. And she says this, she made this vow, O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. I mean, why jump to that conclusion? I'll never know, but he did. So Eli said to her, how long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Now, let's pause. I have probably said some dumb things in my life. No, not probably. I have said some dumb things in my life. Okay? But I hope as your preacher, as an elder of this congregation, I am never that insensitive. Okay? I hope that I will always try to understand the situation. He just jumps to the conclusion she's drunk, and then he goes up to her and says, you're making a drunken spectacle of yourself. But notice the respect of Hannah. He tells her to put away your wine. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord. I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time. Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. You know, when it comes to finding thankfulness, finding gratitude, even in our heartaches, the first thing we need to do is hit our knees. We need to spend time in prayer before God. We need to petition God, but it needs to be with purpose. Notice Hannah got right to the point. She acknowledged her needs. She was so deeply troubled. This situation now, you got to remember, it didn't just bring her internal grief, but it also brought social shame. It was a big deal to the men. It was a big deal to the families. Remember, women did not have a lot of say-so during this time. And so her job was to produce a male child for their family. And obviously Peninnah has rubbed it in her face. And so she is struggling so much, but instead of turning away from God, she petitioned God. And she did it with sincerity and purpose. What is the first thing that some people do, and maybe even quite a few people do, when times of trouble come? They don't go to God, they blame God. God, why this? Why that? Why would you do this? Hannah didn't do that. She petitioned Him. She poured her soul out to Him. And every day, if you and myself will practice this great lesson that she has taught us, that we will pour our souls out to God, we will find gratitude. You notice when she got up, she was sad no longer. She poured her soul out. She let go and let God. Now, I'd recognize, folks, that's very hard to do. I know it's hard to do because we want to at least hold on to it with a little bit of our grip. But we got to let go and let God. There's gratitude to be found. In our times of need, gratitude starts by acknowledging that God can and does provide. But then she asks with faith. Again, it's petition with purpose. She asked with faith. Despite years of disappointment, she approached God in prayer and her faith was unwavered. Did you hear the confidence that she had in Him? She knew that He could do it. She said, "If you will just grant this to me, if you'll remember your servant." She knew that God could do it. True gratitude begins when we ask God in faith, trusting that He knows our needs even before we ask. You remember James when he's teaching us about prayer? In James, he says there, it's a very simple part, but it's very powerful. He says the prayer of faith will save the sick or heal the sick. The prayer of faith. What does that mean? That means when you go home and you want something so bad and you understand, you don't say, "God, I don't really think you're going to do this, but I'm going to say it to you anyhow." You see, that's not the prayer of faith. Hannah went before God, pouring her soul out and saying, "You can do this, and if you will, just grant it to me." But the third part of this point may be the hardest. We've got to align our will with God's. Hannah didn't just ask for a son for her own selfish desires. She aligned her petition with a willingness to dedicate the child to God's service. She asked for a blessing, so that she could give it back. Our petition, our prayers must be aligned with God's will. Jesus Christ, He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and He petitioned with purpose, didn't He? He petitioned with so much purpose that His sweat became like drops of blood. His friends couldn't even stay awake. He is in agony. He is miserable because it's coming the point of time when He is going to have to, as a man, face the cruel death of the cross. And so He petitioned God and He went straight to the point. And you know He had faith. He said, God, let this cup pass from me. Now, if you understand the cup, you go back to the Old Testament and you watch God's cup of wrath be poured out. When people did wrong, look how God, He would open up the earth and swallow people whole. And it was, if you offered strange fire, He'd just burn them up with a strange fire. That's the cup of wrath He's talking about. Lord, let this cup pass from me. That was petition with purpose. But then He said, not my will, but yours be done. Now I want you to note that God, His will was for Jesus to go through it. But He did send an angel to give Him strength. You see, sometimes the prayer is no. Sometimes the prayer is not right now. But He always gives us what we need. Petition with purpose. Number two, we got to then, if we want to understand gratitude even in our times of need, we've got to promise with passion. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 again. I want us to read verse 11 and then skip down and read 21 through 23. 1 Samuel 1 verse 11 again. She made this vow, O Lord of hosts, if only You will look on the misery of Your servant and remember Me, and not forget Your servant, but will give to Your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazirite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicating drink, and no razor shall touch his head. Now go down to verse 21, please. The man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, usually it's about 3 years during their custom, and that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazirite for all time. Her husband Elkanah said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord establish His word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. In Hannah's prayer, she vowed that if God gave her a son, she was going to give him back. That's the commitment of her vow. She promised with passion. She saw her request not just as a personal desire, but as an opportunity to bring glory and service and honor to God. Have you ever said, God, if You do this, I'll do this? God, if You'll just let this person happen, I will not miss another worship service. And then, you know, about 3 weeks later, we start missing. God, if You'll let me do this, I'll get this out of my life. And for a little while, we're strong, but then we let it right back in. Hannah, think of what she said. Now, listen. We all said the same thing, right? God, You give us this child, we'll bring him up. We'll raise him up in the nurture and admonition of You, and we're doing that to our best ability, right? But Hannah said this, as soon as I wean him, give me 3 years, and I'll take him to the temple and let him live there. That's what that meant. And I will make him a Nazirite. Remember, Samson also had a Nazirite vow. You can study about that in Numbers chapter 6, I believe. But all this to say, this was a commitment now that wasn't like just any little commitment. This was a promise with passion. God, if You will grant me this male child, I will make sure he is a priest of Yours. If you know anything about Samuel, he was a pretty powerful guy when it comes to the lineage of Jesus Christ. Getting the kingdom going, being a judge, being a priest. See, this was not a small ask. This was a major deal. Gratitude calls us to remember and fulfill the commitments we make. God always does His part. But are we doing ours? You see, there's a cost of dedication. Dedicating Samuel meant that Hannah would let go of the son that she had longed so hard for. I'm here to tell you the act of gratitude has to come with sacrifice. Hannah's love for Samuel was matched by her devotion to God. If we're going to learn to be thankful people, even in times of struggle, we've got to learn that it comes with sacrifice. We've got to give up. We've got to make time. We've got to get up earlier. Whatever we have to do, if we truly want to be people that thank God for everything and live a grateful life, then we've got to be willing to sacrifice. Thirdly, this morning, and finally, Hannah petitioned with purpose, made a promise with passion, but then she made praise with proclamation. I want you to turn now to the next chapter, chapter 2. Kind of a long reading, but I want to read her prayer with you. This is after all this with Samuel. By the way, Samuel's name, it's tied to, if you look at the word king and anointed that's being said here, it seems like it's tied to the Messianic line, okay? And a lot of what Hannah says is a lot of like what Mary says when she is expecting the Son of God. Just a really neat look there. And also Samuel's name means heard by God, which is pretty amazing as well. But look at this prayer in chapter 2. Again, praise with proclamation. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory." Peninnah was an enemy, right? She rejoiced in her victory. This is thanksgiving. "There is no holy one like the Lord. No one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." It seemed like she was countering everything Peninnah said, all this arrogance that was coming out. She was countering with how great her God was. Verse 4, the bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them He has set the world. He will guard the feet of His faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, His adversary, shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the power of His anointed." That's what I was talking about, that king and anointed. But here Hannah, after all that God has done, she's prayed so fervently that the priest himself has accused her of being drunk. She assured him she wasn't. "I'm just praying and pouring out my soul." God heard those prayers. He gave her Samuel. She had made that promise with the passion, "If you will give me him, I will make him a Nazarite. I will dedicate him back to you." Look at the gratitude it brought. Look at the praise that Hannah had. She exalted God's power. She exalted God's holiness. She talks about how great God is in this prayer. She acknowledges His justice. When we receive blessings, gratitude should lead us to exalt God publicly. You see, we talk about living the life, and we must live the life. Okay, that's let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus Christ said that. And so, yes, we need to live the life, but when we have the opportunity, we need to put in a good word for our Heavenly Father. We need to speak up. See, there's a time in our life we may have some influence right now. People may be on a low limb, but there's a lot of gratitude coming out of us. We need to talk up God. This world tries to silence us. This world has tried to take God out of everything. But we are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And we are called out of this world. We are the called out, the ecclesia, the kingdom, the church of our Lord. And we've got to speak up when the opportunity arises. We must proclaim God's goodness. We must proclaim God's faithfulness. We must proclaim God's mercy, His grace, His favor, His forgiveness, His love. And then what does Hannah do in this praise, this proclamation of praise? She embraces God's sovereignty. She recognized that God is over all. He's over everything. God humbles the proud, exalts the lowly, and guards His faithful ones. Part of gratitude is accepting God's supreme reign. Accepting that God is the supreme being. That He is on the throne. Whether He's on the throne in our lives or not, He's still on His throne. We just need Him to be on the throne in our lives. We trust that God's plan is perfect and His timing is right. And then finally, in this prayer that Hannah had, she encouraged faith in others. Hannah's prayer wasn't private. We know that because thousands of years later, we're reading it in an inspired letter, an inspired book. Her prayer wasn't private. In fact, it became a song so that it would inspire faith in God and others. Hannah's story of answered prayer has encouraged, I would say, millions upon millions. It's certainly been an encouragement to me. It's certainly been a lesson for me. You see, our gratitude should serve as a testimony to others as well. We need to let others know how much God has done for us and how thankful we are. Give God the glory. Give Him the praise. When we praise God openly, we're reminding others of how awesome and trustworthy He is. Hannah's story, as we close, it gives us such a great example of a heart that's full of gratitude. Even though she's sad, she's full of gratitude. See, that's a place that we can only describe we can get to with God. Gratitude certainly begins in petition to God. Gratitude is confirmed in promise to God. Gratitude is completed in praise to God. I don't know where you are, and I know you're here, but I don't know where you are in your prayer life. I don't know where you are in your everyday taking up your cross and following Jesus' life. But I know we have the opportunity right now to truly examine where we are. Again, I go back to the very beginning when God called out to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Do not kid yourself. He knew where they were physically. But where were they spiritually? Where are you? Where am I? Are we living a life of gratitude? Have we hit a point in our lives that's struggle, that's pain, that's hurt? There's still thankfulness to be found. Today, your story may not be Hannah's story, but I imagine there's something in Hannah's story that you can take with you. And my prayer is this, that today, if you find yourself and you've made empty promises to God, that today you'll start fulfilling those promises. If you said, "God, if you do this, I'll give you my life," and you've yet to give your life to God, my prayer is today is the day. Today's the day that you'll walk the aisle. Today's the day that you'll confess the sweet name of Jesus. Today's the day that you'll be immersed in water for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. Today's the day that you'll come up out of that water and live a life of gratitude to Him. Or maybe you've done that. But something else has happened and you strayed away. "God, if you'll just do this, I'll come back to you." Well, maybe today's that day. Fulfill that promise. You see, there's an opportunity right now. I can't promise you next week. I can't promise you tomorrow. But right now, we have the opportunity. And if you have a need, won't you respond right now as together we stand and sing.